Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, today, across a wide range of industries, a growing number of workers, and you might be one of them, are discovering that their productivity is being monitored more and more by their bosses. Remote and hybrid work arrangements have fueled a new level of productivity paranoia, as it's been called, amongst employers. But why are companies so willing to surveil employees at the cost of job satisfaction and trust in management? I'm joined now from the US by Kevin Murphy, who's Professor Emeritus and Kemi Chair of Work and Employment Studies at the University of Limerick. Kevin Murphy, you're very welcome to the programme.
Glad to be here.
Now, just as an example, and I think you've given this example in a piece you've written on RTE.ie, PricewaterhouseCoopers, one of the world's big four accounting firms, plans to use geolocation technology to track the location of their employees in the UK to try and enforce a kind of a back-to-the-office mandate. What do you make of this? Will this be successful or counterproductive, do you think?
I think in the end, counterproductive. You can understand that companies are concerned about productivity. And it largely goes down to the fact that a lot of executives and high-level managers never learned how to supervise and manage remote workers. So they just don't have a good sense for this. They want people back in the office because that's what they're comfortable with. But I think in the long run, coercive measures of any sort are going to cause more problems than they solve. And this method of spying on people, basically, I think is being especially worrisome. It's got privacy concerns. It's a known source of stress and mental health concerns. I just don't see it as a winner for organizations at all.
Why are they doing it then?
Well, again, if you talk to people about why they engage in surveillance, or even more broadly, why they're pushing people to come back to the office and then trying to make sure that they actually do it, I think it does come down to some flimsy excuses. The evidence is pretty weak that bringing people back to the office and forcing them to do so benefits the company in any way. But I think that executives and high-level managers are at a loss because they just never learned and never thought they would have to learn how to manage differently.
So it's
easier,
in these companies, Kevin, it's easier for the manager to manage if the employees are under his or her nose as opposed to not knowing where they're. So it comes down to that?
I think it is. I mean, I can go back to doing the same things I've been doing for the last 30, 40, 50 years, and I'm very comfortable with. And that whole idea that people need to be under your supervision and control, I think is one that's really came into question during the pandemic. And I don't think there's a convincing answer that organizations benefit from.
Okay, but hang on a second here. Maybe productivity could be better if Kevin, for example, was back in the office. Maybe Kevin is at home munching up on popcorn and watching Netflix instead of doing his job.
Well, and I've heard that a lot. And there's conflicting evidence. For the most part, it doesn't seem very convincing that people are more productive if you bring them back to the office. And I think you're right. If I'm working at home, I probably don't spend 8 hours grinding away. I get my stuff done in 4 or 5 hours because I'm not wasting time commuting. I'm not wasting time at meetings. I'm not wasting time on office politics. And I can work on things and focus on things without the distractions of being in the office. So, yeah, I can be a lot more productive if I'm not sitting in the office than I am if I'm forced to come back there. And I think the companies ought to say, hey, this is great. If I'm getting done what I contracted you to get done, I shouldn't care whether you do it in 4 hours or eight.
Is this driven by US corporate culture where you pay the employee well, but you're always available and you drive them hard?
There's certainly some of that, but I think this is it's a global phenomenon. And I really do think it comes back to the idea that managers and executives are very used to having a lot of power and control. They lost that during the pandemic, and they've been desperate to come back. I mean, I see the steps at Pricewaterhouse to spy on people as being a sign of real pointless desperation. It's not going to help them. It's going to kill them in terms of how their employees feel and how they're viewed in the marketplace.
Really? So you think there could be an employee revolt here? And I'm sure they wouldn't say it's not spying, of course, and they're not looking at people's personal lives. They're simply monitoring if they're working when they're supposed to be working. But you think this could be, you said from the very outset, it could be counterproductive.
Yeah.
Will people vote with their feet?
Well, I think there's compelling evidence. And what happens is that the employees who are really talented and are really accomplished, have a lot to offer, those are the people who will vote with their feet. You'll lose the good people. You won't lose the bad ones because they have no opportunities. But this is not a winning strategy to say, let's force our good workers out and just retain the ones who are so marginal that they can't get a job somewhere else. This is not forward thinking.
Okay, well, let's see where it goes or how it goes, I suppose, in various companies that it's being tried in. Kevin Murphy, Professor Emeritus and Kemi Chair of Work and Employment Studies at the University of Limerick. Thank you.